Begin to think about what the Lord would have for me to preach, what he would have for me to say, because I believe that it's important that a man of God be studied and be ready to preach instant in season and out of season. But as we try to prepare for these lessons, we want the Lord to put his seal of approval on what he gives us. And we try to follow him in those things, and we're thankful when God gives us those thoughts. And our thought this morning would come from 2 Corinthians and the 6th chapter, and we'll start with the first verse. Probably very familiar reading, but it says, "We then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by longsuffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things." And our thought this morning would be workers together with him. And as you read through this, and as Paul was talking to the church at Corinth, you notice that there are 27 different things that he talks about here. And if the Lord will be our helper, we won't necessarily go through this one by one, but maybe the Lord will allow us to put them together piece by piece. But as I began to think about this church, and as I began to think about the revival that will be coming up in just a few short months, and I began to think about this church, and as she begins to move forward, and as we all strive to be the best church that God will allow us to be, I began to think about the ingredients of a good church, the ingredients of God's workers and as his household and as his brothers and sisters. As we come together to worship the Lord, we must work together to see lost souls saved. If we want to see the house of God full again, if we want to see lost people bowing and praying earnestly, if we want to see our churches revived in a way they've not been in a long time, we must work together to see those things. Amen. It's not only just one church, it's not the multitude of churches, it's every single church that God has. They must work together also. We can work together or we can work separately. But if we'll work together, we can pool our resources and be together and work for the greater cause of lost people. People oftentimes, they'll come to church and maybe as missionary Baptists, we've done a terrible job of letting people know that we have a great cause. I believe it was David when he went up before Goliath, and as he went down to his brothers and they said, "What are you doing here? Why have you left the sheep on the hill to fend for themselves?" He says, "Is there not a cause?" I believe that there's a cause in his church today. I believe there's a cause, or otherwise we would not be here. There is a reason that God still has a work in Mount Calvary, and there's a reason that we're still here this morning. There's a reason that these lights are still on. There's a reason that God let a church be planted here many, many years ago, because there was a work to do by his grace. And the only way to do that is to work together. We know and realize, and we've heard the saying many times, and I believe it's a very biblical saying, a house divided cannot stand. I can begin to break things apart and the structural integrity of things if it's put together right the first time. And if it stays together without any modifications, it is stronger and its integrity is stronger if we'll leave it that way. You begin to divide on it, you begin to break it apart, and the structure is just not as good as it once was. A house divided cannot stand. If something is a strong, tightly bound together, you couldn't break it apart with dynamite. But if it's held together with rubber bands, paper clips, and just a little bit of Elmer's glue, it won't hold together very much at all. What binds things together? That is the Holy Spirit of God. I believe that is the binding ingredient in the church. We know that as we begin to cook, and I can guarantee you wouldn't want anything that I've cooked. But as you see people begin to cook and they begin to make a sausage ball or something of that nature, they have to have something to bind all of the ingredients together. What binds us together is God's Holy Spirit, and I'm thankful for that this morning. But as we try to go through this, and as I said, our thought is workers together with Him. We can work together, but something else we have to have is God. God has to be with us in order to do the things that He lays upon our heart. And He was telling the people at Corinth here, and He was telling them that you receive not the grace of God in vain. People oftentimes, they'll get saved, and we'll see them get off the altar, and they'll explain that they've been saved. They'll tell of a wondrous salvation experience, and you'll never, ever see them again. They leave, and they get out in the world, and they say, well, I've got salvation. I'm okay. We talked about this a little bit in Sunday school, but people today believe that missionary Baptists believe that you can get saved and live any way you want to. Well, I don't believe that today. I believe there's something that when we get saved, there's a work for us to do. I believe if it wasn't a work, He would have taken us out of here the moment that He saved our soul. There is a work for us to do. I believe that as missionary Baptists, people, we've got to explain and hold fast to the doctrines of His church. And we need to teach lost people as they begin to get saved. We need to teach them about the ways of the church so they can hold fast to the doctrines themselves. We need to let them know what we believe and why we believe it. That's very important today, because we've got members of our churches that don't even know the very core of what it means to be a missionary Baptist. They need to know. And many times this will be used toward the preachers. My brother Jerry Miller used this at the ministry school this year, and I'm thankful that he did, but I'm going in a completely different direction, I believe. But a lot of times this will be used toward the ministers and different things of that nature. But I firmly believe this morning that every saved person is a minister of the gospel. And you may say, wait a minute, women can't be preachers. I believe that there is no woman that can ever stand behind this book board and begin to preach. I don't believe that at all. But I believe as saved people, we all have a witness to this lost and dying world. We have something to tell the world about. Every single one of you come in contact with people every single day that need to be witnessed to. Every single one of us that have been saved by the grace of God, if we'll follow the Holy Spirit, we have somebody that we can minister to, that we can tell about our salvation and the experience that we have. But it talks about the different things that we can work together with. And I believe if we truly want to have a revival in this church, if we want to see lost people saved, these are things that we must do. We must work together first and foremost. We've got to work together so that we don't work against each other. Working against each other has never helped anyone. But the first thing that he says is patience. That's something that none of us really want. I think about my poor granddad, the man who doesn't have patience for anything. We'll get in a car traffic jam, and boy, he's ready to just run somebody over and get out of there. He's ready to get out of there and get where he's going. And I don't know why this today, but as I began to think about the comments that I made in the bulletin, I had no idea that they would come out today, but we live in a very fast-paced society. We want things right as soon as we can get them. We want them right then. We want everything to happen just as we want it. But sometimes God has to let us wait and see the fruits of our labor. Sometimes we have to be patient and hold fast and know that God is working. Even when we don't see a thing, we know that God is working. We have to be patient in our labors, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. In the work of God, there's going to be a lot of those things. There's going to be a lot of afflictions that come up. There's going to be a lot of necessities. There's going to be a lot of distresses that we as God's people will face in our lives. But I know that, and I know this very, very well, because as I faced this in my ministry, as I faced this in my Christian walk, even before I was saved, even before I was called to preach, I know that there were a lot of things that were hurled my way. There were a lot of things that tried to rip me off the rock, but there was nothing that could, because once you've been saved by the grace of God, you are held fast to it. I believe that in our church, and I believe this with everything that's in me, there's no way that you can lose your salvation. People will teach that today and bless their hearts. If they've lost it, bless them. Because I've never lost mine, because God has sealed it up. And there's nothing that can remove me from that. Even in the bad times, even when times in my life when I've backslidden so far I didn't even know that I had the joy within me, God was still there. Even in distresses, God was still there. Our Christian walk will be littered with things that will try to break us from going to church. But if we'll hold on to the Lord, oh, things will get better. I'm not trying to preach you a Joel Osteen message this morning with unicorns and rainbows, because I believe there's a lot of bad things in this world. But I don't believe one of the bad things is the Lord's house and His church. I believe there's going to be some rocky times. Oh, there's going to be some rocky times. We can read in the Bible about times when the church got low, when times when the church didn't even know if it would exist anymore. We talked about that in Sunday school, about how the church was ran into the wilderness and they thought they'd got rid of them. The world wants to get rid of us. But as long as we're here, as long as the world will stand, there will be a church of God somewhere. Oh, Lord, I hope it's at Mount Calvary. I hope that still here in the heart of Nashville, still preaching and teaching the true plan of all time, heaven sent me around salvation. That lost people can know and know that they know that they know that they know that they've been saved. Not a superficial salvation that only lasts through this world. Oh, we've got something that will endure through all eternity. You think about that this morning. Something that will last through all eternity. In stripes, and imprisonments, and tumults, and labors, and watchings, and fastings, and stripes, and imprisonments. I thought about old Paul and Silas, how they were thrown in jail for preaching what they were preaching. And I thought about how, as God's church and His children, I thought about there may come another time when God's church and God's people may be cast into the jails and the prisons because of what they teach and they believe. I believe that we know today that if we turn on the television or flip on the computer and look on the news websites about all of the things that are happening against Christian people, and I'm not up here to try to berate the government because I believe we need a government. I believe that we live in the best nation that there ever has been. But oh, I believe that they're being attacked slowly but surely by other things in this world. And I believe that very much, and I believe that as we stand and as we preach about how a marriage is between a man and a woman, and we teach that you must leave your children, you must have them. There can be no abortions, there can be no gay marriage. I believe as long as we teach those things, we're always going to be under attack. But that does not mean that we stop teaching them. It means that we teach them harder than we ever have before. Even if it means stripes and imprisonment. We must do what God has commanded and take it to all the world so that the whole world knows about the true way. About the things that they need to know about. We've fallen lax on things that have been preached. We haven't preached about gay marriage because people don't want to hear about it anymore. They say, let's sweep it under the rug and everything will be okay. God's church can't stand for that. God's people cannot stand for those things. And if they creep in, Lord, help our churches. In labors, in watchings, and fastings. Oh, there's going to be some labor in working for the Lord. People don't like to talk about work. I don't. When I worked at O'Reilly, I would go into work, and I loved my job. I loved the people. But now there'd be times when you're working, and you just thought, I'm ready to just give up and quit what I'm doing because this is boring, and I don't want to do it anymore. There's times in our Christian walk and in our churches that we're like, well, this is boring. I won't do this anymore. Things aren't going like I want them to. Money's not great. I'm not getting a big house for it. Nobody's really paying attention to me. Done all these great things. Well, nobody pat me on the back for that one. Nobody said thank you for doing this. It's not about us. None of this is about us. Nothing about this church, nothing about my preaching is about me. It's not about me anything. It's all about God. All of this stuff, all of this church, all of our lives, they point to Jesus Christ. Everything that we do must point to the Lord. Everything that our actions, they've got to point straight to Him. Our labors will not be in vain. I don't believe that the Bible teaches that. I believe that if we'll labor for the Lord and we'll struggle with Him, it talks about how we must labor with Him. Suffer with the Lord. Suffer the things of this world for just a little while. Brother Jeanette told us in Sunday school about looking toward home. Oh, we've got to struggle here just a little while. We've got to go through just a few things for just a little while, but someday we've got a home to go to if God saved our soul. We've got something to look forward to. I think about from time to time how we'll landmark things throughout our year. We'll look forward to a family vacation, or we'll look forward to Christmas to be with our family, or maybe there's a big golf tournament we want to go to, or maybe there's something on television that's going to come on. I don't know what your hobbies are or anything like that, but we'll look forward to things. We'll landmark things throughout our year so that maybe the year will go a little bit faster. We can look forward to it and say, if I can just get to that point. If I can just get there, I can make it a little farther. When our churches, we begin to landmark things.
Oh, but the last landmark that we'll come upon is finally getting to go to heaven. The things that we've struggled. And I believe that Paul and Silas, if they could come back today and say, all the things that I went through, they were worth it. They were worth going through all of that to preach Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. I believe that if they could come back, they would tell us it was worth every mile that I went. I believe that if Paul could come back, oh, I love to read about Paul and all of the journeys that he took. I believe the man got persecuted. But you know what? He persecuted the church first. He persecuted the church first. But as I began to read about them, and I think about how if they could just talk to us today, and I believe they do talk to us through the Scriptures. I believe if they could talk to us today, they would tell us, oh, it's been worth every mile that I've ever went. Sister, Bethel Goodman used to sing a song, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh, I wouldn't take nothing for this journey that I'm on. People don't like to work. Oh, the best work that you can do is work for the Lord. The best thing that we can live for is working for the Lord. The best thing that we can do is strive to do what God would have for us to do. The money's not great. The fame's not great. Oh, but one day we'll have our reward. When God says, welcome home, my child. Oh, and then He gives us that crown of life. We talked about that in Sunday school as well. I like how those things just go hand in hand. When He hands me that crown of life, I'll just cast it back at Him and say, thank you for everything you've ever done for me. Lord, thank you for helping me. Lord, thank you for being there for me in those times when I didn't know if I could make it. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, and by love unfeigned, Brother Colin told us last week that the word unfeigned means sincerity, or sincerely. So I learned that word last week, so now I can put it all in context. By pureness, the gospel that we preach, and we'll get more about the gospel maybe here in a moment, but the gospel that we preach, we may lump this one in with by the word of the truth in verse 7, but pureness in the word of truth, the gospel that we preach must be pure. It must be the word of truth. It must be the truth straight from the pulpit. Even if people don't want to hear it, it's got to be the word of God. It's got to come from the Lord. If it comes from anything else, if it comes from any other source, it's not worth a dime. I don't want any part of it. I want what God says, even if it hurts. The truth hurts. The truth hurts, but what does the Bible say? The truth shall set you free. I'm thankful for that, even though it hurts, even though sometimes I'll be sitting out in the congregation and those preachers will begin to preach and they'll jump up and down on my toes. That's okay, because I need those sometimes. I need the reminder that my work is for Him and not for me. I need those reminders sometimes. But by pureness and the word of truth, if we don't preach the Bible, if we don't preach it in its purest form, if we don't preach it so that a lost person can understand the true plan of salvation, if we don't preach it in such a simple way, that a lost child, a 5 or 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, can understand what it means to be saved, then we're not doing our job. If we use words that they cannot understand, if we get up here and we talk about things that don't amount to a hill of beans, if we get up here and do those kinds of things, they're not helping nobody. What we're doing today, the reason we're here, is to show people the right way. It's not for accolades. It's not to say, well, look at Mount Calvary. They're doing a good job over there. But I want people to be able to say, Mount Calvary is on fire for the Lord. They're working for the Lord. They're working together. If you could just see those people working in there, all the great things that are happening, I want them to say, but it's because of the Lord. But it's because of their willingness to work for the Lord. By knowledge, we've got to know what we believe. We've got to know why we believe it. If somebody comes in here and they don't know what it means to be a missionary Baptist, we need to teach them. We need to show them. By knowledge, we've got to study the Word of God. We've got to be a worker that needeth not to be shamed. Study to show thyself approved. That's what Timothy says. By knowledge, by long-suffering. We've got to be long-suffering in the work. We've talked about it in Sunday school again, and maybe that's the lesson for today, but loyalty to the Lord's cause. We've got to be long-suffering to His church, to His cause. We've got to stick with it. Because if we don't, all the world out there, they're going to snatch them up just as quickly as I'm sitting here or standing here. We've got to be long-suffering. I thought about, and I believe I looked it up last night, but the church was organized in August of 1972. There's a date in there. I don't know necessarily the date, but it was organized in 1972.
When they started this church, they never intended for it to ever close its doors. And I'm thankful that she's still here in 2015. I hope she's still here in 4015 if the Lord tarries his coming. I hope it's not one of these churches that we read about in Revelations that no longer exists anymore. I want the Lord to find favor here at Mount Calvary, not because I'm here, but because it's the true way, but because it's teaching the true plan of salvation. By kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by kindness. People that meet us need to see that we're kind people. People that visit our church, they need to know that we love them. By love unfeigned, it means a sincere love for people. When God saves a soul, He gives a love for them that surpasses any other love in this world. There's a lot of people I've never met, but I love them and want to see them saved. There's a lot of people I don't like, but I love them and want to see them get saved. I don't want anybody to go to hell. Our job is to not send people to hell or tell them how bad they are so they'll go to hell. It's to point them to the cross so they don't go to hell. It's to point them there so they don't have to suffer the torments of hell. It's not made for anybody but the devil and his angels. We need to point people by our kindness and our love. But how do we do that? By the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost Spirit has to be with us in everything that we do. Even if we're just cleaning the church, we've got to be here in the Holy Ghost. And you may say, well, that sounds a little silly. But when people drive by Mount Calvary and they look at the building, they ought to be able to tell there's something different about those people. We ought to pray for our church in such a way that people can just tell that there's something different about us. Because there is. The Bible says we are a peculiar people. We're not of this world. Oh, we're not of this world. Our flesh is, but this soul that we have, it's a peculiar soul. It's not anything of this world. It is full of the Holy Ghost. It needs to be represented in His church. Everything that we do, from the songs that are sung, from the prayers that are prayed, from everything that we do, it has to be full of the Holy Ghost. By the power of God, Paul says, preaching the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. If we preach in anything else but the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, it is ineffective. It's ineffective. It will not work. We've got to preach in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit by armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. And I'll try to close here in just a moment. But the armor of God, we've got to put it on and go into battle. We've got to suit up and be ready for whatever is going to come our way. We've got to go with our weapons up. And our weapons are not of this world. They're of heavenly things. We'll read over in Peter about that, I believe, if we can find it. I don't know that we'll be able to find it this morning, but I know that the Bible tells us that it is of heavenly things. It's not carnal things, it's spiritual things. What are we fighting with? We're fighting with righteousness. We're fighting with our salvation. We're fighting with the prayers of God's people. We can fight a lot of things with our prayers. I believe one of the most powerful institutions, one of the most powerful things in this world is His church. And this is getting down to the point where it seems like there's some contradictions. But I want you to think about these and the way of the world. By honor and dishonor. The things that we do, the things that we say, the things that we live for. A lot of times people think that we're being very dishonorable. If we looked at Paul and Silas, if we looked at some of the people in the Bible, we might think that some people, if they just saw them in the jail, Paul and Silas, I keep going back to them today, but if we saw them in jail, we'd say, boy, that's a bunch of dishonorable people. But what they were in there for was very honorable. It was something that, if we look at it, they were preaching the gospel. They weren't out stealing cars or whatever they were doing. They were preaching the gospel and thrown in jail. But the world would have looked at that and said, those are dishonorable people because they're in jail. Even if it takes us, even if it brings a dishonor upon our earthly flesh, oh, if it honors the Lord spiritually, oh, what a blessing it will be. By evil report and good report. There's a lot of times that God's church gets a bad name. Boy, they're bigots. They're hateful. They don't love anybody. They're just old, hateful bunch of people. A lot of times we get that put on us. But if they really knew that we loved them and just wanted them to do right, they would see that there is a love about us. But we have to, even if it brings an evil report upon us, we still have to tell them the truth. Because the good report comes from God. It's not what our flesh sees. It's not about us. It's about the Lord. As deceivers and yet true. And I'll try to close in just a few more moments, just a few more
closing thoughts, but
by as deceivers and yet true, and you might say, well, we're not deceiving anybody. No, we're not. We're yet true. The world might say, well, those people over there at Mount Calvary, they're telling people about this kind of salvation, but this is what we're telling. We're the yet true part of it. People may see us as deceiving people, but we're not deceiving anybody. This world deceives people by the millions. All you have to do is turn on the television and flip through the channels, and there's somebody preaching for their money. Oh, if you'll just give me your money, you'll be saved. They'll step out in front of their congregations, and they'll say, if you'll just give me your money, if you'll just send me some money, Lord bless your life. If you'll just do all of this, do all that, smile, you'll be okay. That's not true. What it takes is to kneel down at an altar of prayer. You might say, well, do I physically have to get down? No, you don't. All it takes is kneeling in the heart. And the world fails to tell him that. It means humbling yourself before God and asking the Lord to save your soul, being willing to give up everything that you've got to be saved. The world won't hear anything about that. They don't want to know anything about humbling themselves. They don't want to be humble. They want to live in their pride and do those things because that looks a lot better. As dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Boy, the world looks at us, and there's a song we sing, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. The world may say, I have nothing. Oh, but if they could just see. If the world could just know what we've got, if the world could just get one taste of salvation, if they could just get one little drop of what I've got in my soul, they'd want it all. If they could just know the love that God has given me, bless their hearts. They'd know the true riches of this world. People will get everything in this world. They'll try to go to college and get the biggest job that they can, and they'll work all their lives to work for something else. And I told you earlier that they'll try to live their lives for worldly things. Oh, but the riches, the best things of this life, they're not things that we can see with our eyes. They're things that are spiritual. They're blessings from God. They're not things that we can put our hands on. But I'm so thankful that God doesn't see my bank account. And He doesn't see the car that I drive or the house that I live in. And I believe that if you have a nice house and a nice car, bless your heart, that is wonderful. I'm so happy for you because you've been able to work and attain those things. And I believe God gives those to people. I believe God gives people the ability to work for those things. I'm not down on those things at all. I believe it's okay to be comfortable in this world and have worldly things and have nice things. Oh, but don't measure the things that you've got based off that. If the Lord has not given you anything, if you drive something from the 20s or you live in a house that's a shack with no air conditioning, be thankful that God has blessed you with that. Be thankful that God has saved your soul most of all if He saved you from hell. Because it says, as sorrowful, yet always receiving, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. I told you last week about the king coming. Well, I'm a child of that king. My king owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns everything. He's the fairest of 10,000. Oh, and someday we'll get to enjoy the angelic choir that'll sing. We'll get to enjoy the streets of gold. Oh, that'll all be ours. Isn't that a wonderful thought this morning? We sang the song, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful just to be home with the Lord? You may say, well, preacher, this was awfully sad today. This makes it sound like we've got a lot of work to do. We do have a lot of work to do. But you know what? It says workers together with Him. It doesn't mean we're in this alone. It doesn't mean we have to struggle through this alone. What it means is we've got to work together. I love to work with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I love to be with you all. Being with you all is the greatest joy of my week. Being able to see you all on Sunday morning or any other service that I get to be on, it just fills my heart with joy. It just gives me something to look forward to. When I get to come together and labor with you all and work with you all, oh, it's such a joy. And if we'll all take a hold of that joy, let's work together in His vineyard. The harvest is great, but the workers are few.
Amen.
The harvest truly is great. There's less than 30 of us here today, and the city of Nashville's way on in the millions, I'm sure. We can conquer the city if we'll pray with all our earnest. You say, that's a big thought.
We read over on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were saved because of why? Because they were obedient to the Lord and they were willing to do what He had for them to do. Now, we may not see 3,000 souls get saved. We may never see that. The Bible says just one is precious as 100. Let's work together. Let's work for this church. We may not see 1 million people get saved. That's not what it's about. I want to see millions of people get saved. I want to see this whole world saved. But let's work together in His church. In spirit and in truth and power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, let's come together worshiping the one true God, letting people know there's something about Matt Powery. Let's work together with Him. Let's pray for one another. Let's be with one another. Let's enjoy one another's company. When we come in here on Sunday mornings, that's one of the best things about Mount Calvary, is you come in and people are loving each other. They're talking to each other. They're shaking each other's hands. They're giving each other hugs. Oh, that's such a blessing for me to be able to see that there's love here. Oh, there's such a love here. Let's keep that. Let's show that to the world. And let's work together. That's our thought this morning, as humble and as feeble as it may have been. Let's work together. We've got a revival starting the first Sunday night in August. Let's not wait till July 30th to start praying. Let's start now. Let's start now. And when August gets here, we'll not be able to set this whole Nolensville pipe on fire with the Holy Spirit of God. That's my desire. May God bless you. It's our prayer. Brother Coleman, if you have a song for us this morning.